Take your Bibles, first of all, and turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 will begin today. Brother Tower, you're right. God makes no mistakes. He knows where we need to be, when we need to be there. And I'm so glad that I want him to direct my life and help me to be where I ought to be. And as just yesterday, my wife and I was in a place, and I came across this young man, and he's staying in the shelter in Raleigh. And he was happened to be where I was at, and I just had a good conversation with him. He's a Christian. He's trying to discern God's will for his life. He's only been down in this part of the country about 3 months now. And I had a long conversation with him, and it was just a blessing to talk to a Christian in a public place. You don't have that often, but it was a joy to do that and converse with him and how he wants God's will for his life. I think he's 26 year old, I believe he said, but he's trying to discern God's will for his life. And I can't pronounce his name, but God knows who he is. But, he was very fluent with English, and I just trust God that God will direct him and help him with his life. And but it's good to be here. Hope you got some rain this morning. Most of us did, a little bit. And thank God for that. I'm glad to have each one of you here today. As we look today at a new subject, and I'm trusting God to direct us as we look at the Word of God today. Dr. Robert G. Lee was conversing with a man that did not believe in the Genesis account of creation. He could not convince him that it was true. And he said to the man, Robert Lee said to the man, says, "I'm amazed how you can gap at a rib and swallow a whole monkey and call it scholarship." But that's where we are today. People refuse to believe the Bible. Well, I stand before you today and I say to you, as I've said so many times, I believe in this old book from cover to cover. It's holy and inspired of God. It's for my good and for your good and for His glory. Amen. And I'm thankful that we have the Bible. Preacher's been good, doing a good study on Wednesday night. If you've been missing Wednesday night, you've been missing a whole lot of good information about the Bible, where it come from, and how we got it, and how we can stand upon it, and we have it to share with people, and how, you know, it's a blessed old book, folks. It really is, and I'm glad that we have the opportunity even today to share it. 1 John chapter number 3, I want to read a couple verses. I want to pray first, read a couple verses, and talk today to you today on a vision of God, a vision of God. I'm afraid today we have, our minds, our views have been distorted as who God really is in this world in which we live. God today is, to many people, material things. It's careers. It's all kinds of things in this world. But He's really not who He wants to be and who He desires to be to most people today. So let's pray and ask God to bless us as we come together. Thank you for being here today. I trust that God will bless our time together as we look into the Word of God. Father, we thank you now for this time. Thank you for this day that you've given us, for this good crowd that's here today. Father, I know that we all stand in need of you. God, we need you in our lives every day. And God, I pray now, Lord, as we open the Word of God again to read it, and to share it with each other. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will be our teacher. I pray He will lead and guide us today, dear God, in what we say. Lord, again, you know our needs, and we trust you, Lord, to provide these needs today. God, I pray your people might be encouraged today. Your people today might be strengthened from the Word of God. And God, we might value the Word of God more than we ever have before. Oh, God, what a treasure it is that we have to hold in our hands. Lord, to hide in our hearts. Lord, to live daily as we go through this life here. Lord, we realize that our life is soon going to be ended. And God, we're going to be with you. And God, what a glorious time that's going to be. But Lord, until then, Lord, help us to use this book that you've given us, the Holy Bible. God, as our example, as our guide. Lord, as we journey through this life, Lord, somehow that we might bring honor to you. God, that we might share it with other people that we come in contact with every day of our lives, that they too might come to know Christ as Savior. Lord, bless now this time together we have. Bless each one this year. Bless all the classes now that are being taught. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, can I just stop and say amen to that? What manner of love God has shown upon us that we could be called the sons of God? We're children of God. If you're born again this morning, you are a child of God. Don't forget that. And what a privilege, what an honor it is to be a child of God. God loves us so much that he's willing for us to become his sons, his children, because of Jesus dying for us. That we should be called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world thinks we're odd. The world thinks we're different, and we ought to be, praise God. Different and odd. We shouldn't be like the world. Therefore, the world's going to mock us, laugh at us, and do everything it can to discourage us as God's children. But you know, we can always go back to this book. We can always look to Jesus and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for allowing me to be your child. And thank you for allowing me to be different in this world that I live in. Thank God for that today. Now look at verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now we're the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know fully exactly what we're going to be when we get to heaven. But we know we're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to look at this. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. What do we know? We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the last words in this verse, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see Jesus as he is one day. My, what a privilege it's going to be one day to see our Savior face to face. I like that old song we used to sing years ago, and we do some once in a while, Face to Face. It's a wonderful song, a wonderful message. I'm knowing that one day I'm going to see my Savior face to face, and we're thankful for that today. Yes, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, as he is. I'm grateful today for that. Now, in looking at today, we know one day we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to see him face to face, and we're going to be like him. We're going to be like him. Now, I know today that God knows everything about me. God knows everything about you. There's nothing hid in my life from God. He knows all about me. He knows my ups. He knows my downs. He knows all my mistakes. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. He knows even our thoughts. He knows even the intents of our hearts. There's nothing that God don't know about me or about you. But when I reverse that, I ask myself this, what do I know about him? What do I know about him? I don't know nothing about him in comparison to what he knows about me. Nothing. But I do know this, I desire to know more about him. I desire to know more about him because of who he is. He's my Father. He's in heaven. Jesus is my Savior. And therefore, if I want to know more about him. Therefore, if I want today to try to get started with a vision of God, who is God? If you could give a word or two about who God is, what would you say about God? Who is God? Somebody tell me.
Father.
He's Father. Who else?
Creator.
Who else? Who is God? Huh? Okay. Who is God? Anybody else? Now, let me get a little personal about it. Who is God to you? Who is God to you as an individual?
Savior.
Who else?
Faithful.
Huh?
Faithful,
right.
Provider.
Okay, provider. That's good. Who else is God to you? See, we can talk about God like the world talks about God, even as a Christian. Do you know that? We can. But when we get down to reality and we ask ourselves the question, who is God to me? Who is God to me? Do I talk to God every day? Does he talk to me every day? Do I cherish and desire his leading in my life every day that I go? What I'm saying is this, is God real to me or is God real to you? A vision of God, an understanding of who God is very important. I would that somehow this flesh, I could conquer it and allow God to be to me who he wants to be, really, in my life. But sometimes I come short of that. I fail in that area. Not going to allow him to be to me all he wants to be and what he wants to be to me and for me in my life. But God is so important. We cannot comprehend God totally. What I mean is we cannot fully understand God in our lives. But I'm so thankful that through his Son, Jesus Christ, we can know God. We can know him personally, even though we can't comprehend him in our lives. Perfect knowledge of God is impossible to be attained in this life. But we know that God has provided means of revealing himself to us as individuals. Look at the natural world we live in. The rain that came this morning or early last night, whatever it was. I mean, all we can say is that's heaven sent. I mean, God did that. How in the world he can float a cloud over this earth and millions of gallons of water can get out and water this earth, I'll never understand that. But he does it. He does it because he's God. We can look at the natural world that we live in and know that there is a God. Not only does he use the natural world that we live in, we know that he also conveys himself to us through his Son by coming and living in this world and dying for you and I. We know there's a God. We know that God is in control. See, he reveals himself to us in many ways. And we see this is the way he does this. We also have the scriptures, the Bible that we have to open, and it represents God as he reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us as mankind in a limited amount of true knowledge that we have from the Bible within reach of us. You know, it baffles my mind of the knowledge that's in this book. Like the pastor said, and I say so many times, the more I try to read and understand it, the way I look at it, the less I understand about it. Does it make sense? I mean, you know, there's so much to grasp, there's so much to get, that it's impossible to get it, humanly speaking. But yet, God wants us to know all we can about him. If we could get just a tab of the knowledge that's in this book about God, all of us would have a greater understanding and vision of God than we have today. I mean, just a little speck. Just a little speck of the Word of God. The Bible, the Scriptures, do not seek to prove the existence of God. God doesn't need his Bible. We don't need the Bible to prove the very existence of God. Again, look at the world. Look at what he's created and all this. We can see and understand how that God, the Scriptures are for us. We find also here today that we need to assume. We need to assume that man ought to prepare to recognize that this scripture is the Word of God. We need to recognize this is the Word of God here. The Bible reveals God as the only infinite and eternal being. The only infinite and eternal being that's ever been. Now, understanding God, understanding His attributes, understanding His character, may the Lord help us as we get started today in this vision of God. Can God be known? Can He be known? Yes, He can be known, can He? But now let me ask you this. What does God expect of you? What does God expect of me? I know God through Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you know God through Jesus Christ. Now, knowing Him is wonderful, is great. There's peace in my heart that passes all understanding in knowing that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But now, what does God expect of me in my life now as a Christian, as a born-again child of God? It's very important. We know He's the Creator. We know He's the sustainer of all this world that we have the privilege of being in. He's the supreme personal intellect of the world, okay? He is the righteous ruler of His universe, God is. He's everything. He's everything. He is life. He is life. And therefore, we find that He is the only source of life. Life comes only from God. He is the creator of life. We also know that He, in the Old Testament, He revealed Himself to and through His prophets. In the New Testament, He reveals Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we might know who He is. We might know who He is. A vision of God, understanding the character of God, all that He is, who He is, what He is, what He's doing, what He wants to do in our lives is so important. It's so important. I'm glad that one day I'll be like Him. One day I'll see Him as He is. I'll be where He is. But today, August the 1st, 2010, I want God to be real to me. I want God to be real to you. I don't want it to be a shock when we get to heaven. That's what God's like. I want a little taste of it down here, don't you? I want to understand Him more. I want to see Him more. I want a vision of God that I've never had before in my life. I want to understand Him. Listen, folks. God wants to be real to every one of us. He wants to be personal to us. There's nothing that you're going through in your life, there's nothing that I'm going through in my life that God don't know about. And God wants to help us. God wants to help us. I pray that I will understand that and you will understand what I'm meaning by that. There's nothing too hard for God to do. Nothing too hard. He can do anything He wants to do for us in our lives. May the Lord give me the knowledge that whenever I'm facing something in my life that is a crisis in my life, that I will look to Him through His Word to give me wisdom to do what I have to do and to face what I have to face. Young couples class, you have a great future ahead of you, the Lord willing. May I challenge you to look to God. To look to God for everything in your life that you need. As a couple, when things come into your life that you don't understand, you can't handle, you can't deal with yourselves, look to God. Look to God. I heard a gentleman in this class, I'm not calling names, but I heard a gentleman in this class say many times to me, "Brother Keith, when there's problems in my life, it can be with me personally, it can be with my spouse, it can be with my family. Whoever it is, the problems that I have in my life, number one, me and my wife, me and my family, we take this problem to God." Okay? We take it to God first, and we ask God to help show us what to do with our situation. That's good advice. That's very good advice. Because God can help us. Now, friends help us. They do help us. People help us too. But we need to bring our problems to God first. Bring our problems to God first. And may God help me. May God help me to do that in my life. To do that in my life. Because I know that God can help. God does help. God provides many things. It's an amazing thing. Just a few weeks ago, I know nobody's ever done this, but I lost my keys. My car keys. And I tried to trace where I had been. I got out of my car, I went in this place, and I got in this place, and I realized I lost my keys. I didn't have my keys with me. So I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to help me find my keys, because I don't know where they are. And I just pondered around there a few minutes, you know, and I went back to my car, looked in my car. Of course, they're not in the ignition. I couldn't see them in there at all. And I said, well, Lord, I got to have my keys. I got something here I got to do here for a little while. Then I got to go home. I'm just going to trust you. So I began to do what I was supposed to be doing. I was going to do what I went in there for to do to start with. And all of a sudden, something dawned on me. When you got out of the car, you got some trash, a napkin and a cup and stuff out of my car. And I went by this dumpster thing here and threw it in there. I said, oh, no. But you know what? I went back in that dumpster, and I remember. I said, yeah, I remember that. And when I opened that dumpster to throw that trash in there, I remember that there was nothing in that dumpster. Nothing. I threw what I had in there, and I went inside. And when I went back to that dumpster, there lay that trash. And on the bottom of that dumpster were my keys. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, that was a time in my life that I needed help. I could have called my wife. She got all upset. Why'd you lose your keys, you know? I mean, you know, this ain't the first time you've done it. You've done it again, you know. You know. And it won't be the last time, I'm sure. But I'm just saying that, you know, I look to God to give me the wisdom to go back to where I come from. I had the keys in the car to get there, right? But when I got in the building, I didn't have them. Now, that's a short journey there. But I had to trace myself back to where I went, and thank God there wasn't anything in that dumpster. If that dumpster had been full of trash, I'd never found them. Because I wouldn't have dug in there to got them, most likely. But I'm saying that sometimes all the time, we need to depend upon God to help us in our lives. I'm afraid we're caught up in asking this one and that one and this one and that one and thinking everybody in the world to help us when God's looking down upon us and says, if you'll just ask me, I'll help you, but you won't ask me. I'm available. I'm available to help you and to give you understanding and show you in your life what you need in your life. God's good. God is good. An understanding of God. What does God expect of me? What does God expect of you? You know, more than anything, God wants us, I really believe, to bring pleasure to Him, to bring honor to Him. And He does that by us depending upon Him, us talking to Him, relying upon Him in our lives, no matter what we face, no matter what we face. We have a good illustration. We know, turn back in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. We know that Isaiah had a vision of God here. We won't have time to get into it much this morning, but we want to talk about the understanding God, understanding the character of God, understanding what God wants to be for us and to us. We see here in Isaiah chapter 6, we see something here that is that is real. Isaiah, being a prophet of God, we know that this vision, in this vision, we see that things change. Seeing God, when Isaiah saw God, things changed in his life. Things changed in his life. He wasn't the same. We see here the purpose of this vision, as we look at it in just a minute, is to give a vision of who God really is. Who God really is. To Isaiah here. It's also to help to understand, to overcome the distorted views of God that's in the world today. And keep us from realizing how we should live. The world don't want us to live for God. The world wants us to live for the world. Therefore, we have distorted views of who God is. We see also this vision is to show how having a vision of God can change how we view ourselves and also how we minister to those around us if we understand God. God will help us in this matter. We can easily lose the view of who God really is in our life. It might just take a catastrophe in our life. It can take just something very serious or something very minor to lose our vision of who God really is, who He really is. Now let's look in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the serpents, each one had six wings, with twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, in the year that King Uzziah died, we know that King Uzziah was a great king. He started reigning when he was 16 years old. He reigned for 52 years. And during that reign, we know that Judah prospered very much. And they became a very prosperous country during that time that he reigned. We know that he was a great, mighty warrior during the time he reigned. He was a builder. And all these things, but Uzziah made a big mistake. Uzziah took a sacrifice into the temple, which was the priest's job. He wasn't supposed to do that. And because of that, God struck him with leprosy. Struck him with leprosy. But overall, he was a good king. He was a good king, but he died. And during that time, when he died, in the year that he died, we see that Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and mighty. Isaiah was given a clear picture of God in this vision. A clear picture of God here. His glory in heaven. His dominion. We see he had it in the year that King Uzziah died. We also see it's a picture of God that will change the way that he viewed everything in life. He challenged him in his life when he had this vision, God did. So we see here, this is what's happening here at this time in Isaiah chapter 6. Now, he had a vision of God. He saw God. He had a vision of God. Now, he had a vision of a throne, the Bible tells us, a throne or a dominion, the throne of an eternal king, high and lifted up on his dominion. He had a vision of the church also on earth who filled his glory. He was filled his glory here. We see that this vision is going to do something for Isaiah. It's going to establish him. It's going to establish him to be a prophet of the Lord. He's making something out of Isaiah here. See, when we see God in our lives, God changes us. God changes us. When we see God and God becomes real to us, our lives are different. Our lives are changed. And we see this is exactly what happened here. First of all, we see that Isaiah saw God. He saw God here in this. We see here that when God opened up heaven, therefore Isaiah, and God, and Isaiah saw the throne. Isaiah saw God sitting on the throne. There's one thing about God that stood out more than anything else when Isaiah saw the throne of God. What was it? Have any suggestions? God opened up heaven. Isaiah looked up into heaven. He saw God on his throne. The glory filled the room. What stood out more than anything in the world? What should stand out to us more than anything about God and his characteristics? Holiness. Holy. God is holy. God is holy. We see here, he got a vision of the glory that filled the throne room. He saw that he was great, he was glorious, he was high and lifted up. He should be worshipped, he should be reverenced, he should be feared, he should be adorned. All these things are important. But God was using the message here to Isaiah, this scene, if you please, to deliver a message to his people through Isaiah. He wanted his people and us to know that his holiness will never change. His holiness will never change. The holiness of God. See, before God showed his own condition or that of the people, he had to fix in Isaiah's mind a picture, first of all, who he was. Who he was. Who God was. That's so important. Before we can understand what we ought to be in this life, we have to get a vision of God. We have to get a vision of God. He's holy. God is holy. God is holy. When Isaiah saw the holiness of God, it changed the course of his life. It changed his ministry. It changed his life completely when he saw the holiness of God. When we see God, the first thing that changes about us is that we lose our sense of satisfaction ourselves. We're not satisfied with who we are when we see God. I've never known anybody, when they see God face to face, when they see God through his word, through the preaching, the teaching of God's word, if God becomes in front of us as who he is, we're always dissatisfied with ourselves. We've got to be dissatisfied with ourselves because God is so great, folks. He's so far above us, it's pathetic. It really is. But God is holy. See, the standard, however, is not what these around us are doing, folks. That has nothing to do with life. Other people do what they want to do. And they're going to do that. We can't change that. But what am I going to do? What are you going to do when it comes to life? Society places great values on self-esteem today, does it not? It does. And we shouldn't be down on ourselves, but we've got to be careful about this self-esteem thing. We really do. He saw his own need of cleansing, Isaiah did, when he saw God. We'll talk about that next Sunday. We are not seeing an accurate picture of God today. Our picture of God has been distorted in the world that we live in. The world is distorting it for us, from us. The more you see in the world, the more distorted your view of God is going to be because you don't see God in the world today. Not in the lives of people. Not in the lives of people. You don't see it. Not very much. You really don't. The holiness of God is very important. Notice here, verse number 3. And one cried, that's one of the angels here, one cried unto another and said, notice, holy, 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 3 times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holiness is the name most often given in the Scripture to God. Holy. God is holy. It's the attribute of all attributes of God is holy. It's the fundamental attribute by which God wants us as His people to remember Him by. The world today focuses on God is love. Okay? God forgives. God supplies. God does all these things, and He does. But that's not what God wants you and I to remember Him by. He wants you and I to remember that He is holy. He's holy. He's righteous. We need to recognize that today. We've forgotten all about the holiness of God. You don't hear much about it today, do you? But God's holy. God is holy. God hates sin. In my life, in your life, He hates it because He's holy. He turned His back on His own Son when His own Son became sin for you and I. God is holy. God is holy. When we think not of God's holiness today, what happens? We think light of sin. Sin doesn't bother us as much when we don't think of the holiness of God. But when we begin to think about the holiness of God, it'll do something to our hearts and our lives. People today think lightly of salvation. If you don't believe it, you go out and try to talk to somebody about being saved. They don't want to hear it. I'm saved. I've been saved for so many years. Where you go to church? I ain't been there. I don't go to church. You know, I mean, people today think lightly of being saved. It's nothing to them. It don't mean anything to people today, being saved. You know why? I'm sad to say this. But probably because we that are saved are not living like they are to live. But people today think lightly of salvation because they have a light view of God's holiness. God's holiness. God shows His holiness in many ways. We don't have time today, but next Sunday we'll talk about the holiness of God. How God manifests Himself in holiness today. In this world in which we live. Folks, listen. With God's help, I want us to get a vision of who God is. I want us to get a vision of who God is and what God wants to do in your life and what God wants to do in my life. I don't know about you. I need help. I need help in my life. And I have to realize that only God can help me. Only God can help me. But I'm so thankful for this. I know He wants to help me. I know He wants to help me. And I'm trusting Him to help me to better understand Him. And I trust as we go through this class the next several weeks that God will help all of us to get a grip. And I see a vision of God that we've never seen before of who He is. God wants to help us, folks. He does. I don't care where we are in life, what we're facing, what we're dealing with. You say, well, Brother Keith, everything's fine with me. You know, I got a good job. I got this. I got that. Well, you wait. You may not need God now, but one day you will. And you better remember, don't go crying out to God only when you need Him. Be a friend of God. Let God be your friend when you don't need Him. And you'll find you'll be bonding a relationship throughout your life that will help you and will strengthen you. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for the Word of God. I pray now, Lord, as we look for the next few weeks, Lord, upon a vision of God, Lord, may the Spirit of God be our teacher. May He reveal to us what He wants to be for us and to us. God, we need You. And God, we pray You'd help us to understand that. And God, You'd help us to be able to grasp that in our life every day as we walk. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all you do for us. And Lord, all you want to do. Bless now the service we're about to go into. I pray for this special singing. I pray for our pastor as he preaches the word of God. Lord, may you be honored, glorified. There's somebody here lost. I pray they might be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen.